because if they knew the medicinal benefits of cacao, they probably would have banned it alongside cannabis and other plants that have strong medicinal benefits that aren't necessarily supporting big globalization. So I think that it's kind of been that kind of part of cacao has been really hidden. And yet right now in 21st century, we're really needing to find alternative ways of managing stress and anxiety, natural ways of managing mild depression rather than going on antidepressants. And actually cacao is having a revival, I think, because of this.
So today I'm welcoming back Rebecca Shaman. And instead of talking about cannabis and hemp, we are going to be discussing cacao. Mostly because I'm completely obsessed. Anyone who's spoken to me recently, I probably bent their ear off about cacao and how it's transforming my life more than anything else I've tried in the past to try and help my anxiety and low mood. So I wanted to share everything that I've been learning about cacao, because there's some amazing science, how it helps to slow down aging in our brains and our hearts, as well as boosting our mood. What's not to love? So for all you cannabis purists, you might be disappointed, although we do speak about psychedelics as well on ayahuasca. But stay tuned, because I think by the end, you're going to be cacao curious. You're listening to Cannabis Voices. People's stories in their own words about the healing power of the cannabis plant. So good morning, Rebecca.
Good morning, good morning.
I'm feeling particularly perky today, as I have been for the last, I don't know, 2 or 3 months. And I wholly put it down to my daily intake of cacao, ceremonial cacao. So which is, I wanted to get the woman who knows everything there is to know about cacao on the show, so we can do a real sort of deep dive and find out more about this amazing plant that it feels like nobody really knows about, although we, you know, shove it into our faces in different forms of various sugary, milky chocolate bars.
Yeah.
But, So, Rebecca, you know, you're sort of known perhaps more in the UK in the cannabis scene for your involvement with hemp, mm-hmm. but there's much more to you than that, isn't it? I mean, the clue being in your surname, Shaman. So can you tell me a little bit about how cacao came into your life, first of all?
Yes. Yeah, so I'd gone bankrupt with cannabis, with hemp, in 2010. And took a year out.
Literally
bankrupt. and we had a hemp food company and a number of other things. It's a long story. Bankruptcy doesn't just happen. It's a slow dissolution of everything that you've been building up. So, but I was pretty burnt out. And I'm sure a lot of your listeners can resonate with that if they've been in the hemp and cannabis industry for a few years. And I took a year out and I went back to the Amazon, where I have had a very strong connection and relationship with. And reconnected back to the plant medicines of the Amazon and plant medicine shamanism of the Amazon, and returned again in 2012 to do more training in plant medicine shamanism. And so I was out there from September to December 2012, and then from there I went on to Mexico and ended up doing a ayahuasca ceremony actually in Mexico on the 20th of December 2012, which was kind of a dream of mine to actually be in Palenque at what was considered the end of the Mayan calendar. There was a lot of interest at that time around, like, the, you know, the 2012 completion of this big procession of energy. And so I was at this ayahuasca ceremony. Actually, it was the first ayahuasca ceremony I had ever attended outside of Peru, outside of the Amazon, but also outside of my own teacher and my own medicine. So prior to that point, I had kind of only drunk medicine that came from ayahuasca and plant medicines that had come from my part of the Amazon. And so it was a powerful ceremony, but when it kind of went all the way through the night, and as the sun rose, got this really strong message that I needed to find cacao and actually bring cacao back to the West and start serving it as a traditional plant medicine, like ayahuasca. And that actually cacao had a lot of medicinal qualities and benefits that the West really need right now, even more, I think, than ayahuasca and other plant medicines that are much stronger and more psychedelic. Cacao is incredibly gentle and soft, but also very, very powerful. And I'm sure we'll talk about that a bit later on. So I went from Mexico onto Guatemala. And it is kind of like the center of cacao, Guatemala, around Lake Atitlan. And I came back. I gave away all my possessions in my rucksack and came back with 21 pounds of cacao in my rucksack. And from there, started to do cacao ceremonies and started to work with cacao as a plant medicine for helping people reduce stress and anxiety, feel more relaxed, blissed out, loved up, and also as an alternative to like coffee and other quite intense intoxicants, which is a fantastic alternative to alcohol if you're going teetotal or giving up alcohol and needing something to as a compromise to that, and also fantastic as an alternative to coffee as well. So I came back. No one had heard of cacao at this point, ceremonial grade cacao. Obviously, everyone knows about chocolate, but certainly there wasn't any ceremonies or working with cacao as a plant medicine when I returned to the UK. And so, yeah, I started to do cacao ceremonies and was amazed at the results and how people are really benefiting from taking cacao on a regular basis, and actually really does help to shift mild depression, stress and anxiety. It is a really fantastic nutritional fruit, actually. And to start re-educating people on the power of cacao, ceremonial grade cacao, which everyone knows about the chocolate, but very few people actually are aware of the
Well, can we kind of get to the bottom? Because I mean, we have the ceremonial grade cacao. We have, if you go to any baking shop, you've got cacao nibs, you've got cacao powder, then you've got cocoa powder, and so there's a kind of almost like a continuum, isn't there? So perhaps you
break
can
it down.
Help to
Okay. So basically, cacao is a fruit, and it grows on the cacao tree. And it is not seasonal. It grows all year round. And it's quite an intensive harvest, actually, to harvest the cacao. So you have the pod. You then have to break open the pod, and you have the fruit inside. And the fruit is surrounded by a white, pithy flesh. You ferment that. And depending on where you are, each country will have a different way of doing it. So some countries ferment for 7 days, some countries ferment for 10 days, others don't ferment at all. And once you've done that, you remove that white pithy bit and you have the bean, and that's the chocolate, basically. And then you dry that out, and then you lightly roast it like you would lightly roast the coffee bean. And this just draws out the flavor of the cacao, but then it also breaks the shell open. It helps to shell the bean, because the bean actually has quite a strong shell covering over the actual bean once the white pithy flesh has been removed. And if you don't roast it, you have to hand crack the beans. It's just a lot more, it's much more energy intensive, like human intensive, to do that. And it also, as you lightly roast the beans, very, very gently, it draws out the flavor of the cacao. So when you read about raw cacao, you need to be very clear that they haven't been lightly toasted prior to them being shelled, because a lot of people are calling.
So that's the difference.
That's the difference. A lot of people calling their cacao raw when it's actually not technically raw. It just means there's nothing added to it. But if it has been lightly roasted to draw out the flavor and to shell the beans, then it's not effectively 100% raw then.
And does it make a difference in terms of the properties if it's
No, I don't. Because you're doing it at such a low level, it literally is just to gently draw out the flavors of it. I mean, if you do it too much, you just burn it, and then you can really tell the difference of burnt cacao beans. You're literally just doing it on a very, very, very gentle frame, so it's not like you're cooking it or anything. It's pretty much just to remove the shells and draw out the flavor. And then from there, so you've got the cacao beans pretty much shelled, and then you crush them, and that's what you would call
them. So would these be the nibs that are sold in for baking and stuff? Okay, so that means that cacao nibs are pretty natural, right? They're a kind of... So they still contain the cacao butter and stuff.
Everything.
Like that.
So
right?
It literally, the cacao nibs are just the crushed up cacao beans. Then you grind the nibs in a stone grinder. So again, as pure as you could possibly be with it. And that turns it into what we call the cacao paste or the cacao liqueur. And that gives it that, it kind of melts it down, the grinding melts it down, not from the friction, not from the heat. So it's ground down from the friction of the stone grinder. And that then, you can then pour that into molds and then have it as kind of, it's in liquid form. And then you can put it into molds and have it in bars and stuff like that. So that's how chocolate's made. So they then add to the nibs, the sugar and whatever else they're putting in to mix it. However, the next stage to that is to remove the cacao butter. So the next stage is hydrolyzing it. So with pressure, you squeeze out the cacao butter, and then you have the cacao powder naturally and the cacao butter. And what chocolatiers do is they then mix the cacao butter and the cacao powder back together again, because they have more control over how they want to make their chocolate. Whereas if you're just literally got the cacao liqueur and you're adding bits onto it, it's a much denser process. So this hydrolyzed process was invented in the early 1900s, actually, I think it was Lindt that brought out the conching machine, which was able to then make cacao kind of that silky smooth flavor, and when you crack it, when you crack the cacao bar, that's actually where you know how well it's been made or not. So there's a whole load of ways of working out if it's a good quality chocolate or not.
So just to be clear then, because I mean I was in Ecuador beginning of the year before my current obsession, sadly, of cacao, and I did actually go to a cacao museum and you know, saw the pods and the beans, and actually they made some quite interesting things, I think, with the during I don't know what point of the fermentation process, but there was cacao alcohol, there was cacao vinegar, there was all sorts of products. But I kind of came away with some cacao powder, which presumably, if the cacao butter has been taken out, health-wise, are there health benefits of the cacao butter that should be preserved?
Oh yeah, cacao butter is amazing. I mean, it's fantastic for the skin. It's a fantastic lubricant for the muscles. I mean, it's packed full of goodness, the cacao butter.
Yeah.
And for the skin, for the hair, for nails. And actually it's sold, cacao butter, as a beauty product.
It's put into a lot of beauty products, isn't it, to use topically.
And if you just put it onto your skin, but when you ingest it, then it's lubricating your internal organs as well, your muscles, your bones. You're getting that internal. If you've just got the powder, you're not getting access to the essential fats that cacao is offering. You're just literally getting, and also once you've had that, once you've hydrolyzed the powder, you've, again, you're removing some of the nutrients. It's not going to be as pure as if you just have the pure liqueur.
So we kind of touched upon in, you know, the sort of the a little bit of the history of chocolate, you know, when there was this kind of breakthrough moment where Lindt or whatever Swiss chocolate manufacturer created this new process. But there's, you know, before that, there's a very, very long history of the use of cacao in ceremony, for health, etc. So perhaps you can just touch on what we know about the history of cacao in different traditions.
Yeah, sure. So well, the first kind of written or exploration of cacao was through the Olmecs, who had it on their pots, like they had painted cacao on their pots. We then have the Aztecs and the Mayans, who are very well known, who revered cacao. And cacao, especially for the Aztecs, it was considered a currency. I mean, you could barter with cacao. When Montezuma died, he was buried, they opened his tomb, and there was gold in there, but there was ancient heirloom cacao beans. And he was known as one of the great kings that would drink cacao on a daily basis, and they used it for medicine because it's so good for, it's so healthy and nutritious. It's full of magnesium, selenium. It's great for tooth decay. It strengthens hair and nails. It gives you energy. It's like definitely a super fruit. So they really used it and revered it. And then, of course, when the Spanish came over and intermingled with these cultures, they brought it back, but they didn't see it necessarily as a food. They saw it more as a drink. And it was originally brought back as a medicine to drink, to balance your, what they would call your four humors, which is how medicine was viewed at that time, as if you were cold or hot or clammy. And so cacao really for many years was recognized as medicinal, was recognized as a important, you know, plant to ingest for health benefits and also for preventative benefits. And it really wasn't until the 19th century where they found this way of removing the cacao butter and having the cacao powder, where you suddenly could utilize it in different products, and that it became very commoditized and turned into chocolate. And very quickly, the medicinal and health benefits of cacao kind of disappeared under the commercial and commoditization of cacao and chocolate and the craze for chocolate. And of course, when we are feeling low and depressed, we go for the chocolate because of the natural benefits that cacao has. However, you're also consuming all the milk solids and the fats and everything else that they add, chocolate and the sugars. So you're not getting the health benefits that actually cacao naturally has and actually provides. So so the Mayans and the Aztecs were really the great proponent lovers of cacao. But it's interesting how cacao has always been in our diet all the way to, you know, till now, though I feel that she's been very hidden as confectionery, because if they knew the medicinal benefits of cacao, they probably would have banned it alongside cannabis and other plants that have strong medicinal benefits that aren't necessarily supporting big globalization. So I think that it's kind of been, that kind of part of cacao has been really hidden. And yet right now in 21st century, we're really needing to find alternative ways of managing stress and anxiety, natural ways of managing mild depression rather than going on antidepressants. And actually cacao is having a revival, I think, because of this. And also an awareness.
And it's interesting, I mean, that's been my experience, Rebecca, because it feels like the last 10-15 years there's been a sort of low level anxiety, depression, well, the anxiety more than low level at different times. And
you know, I'd certainly been at the points where I was like, okay, maybe now's the time to try antidepressants, but just always, you know, keeping it at bay through other, you know, methods. But just, yeah, just a kind of grumbling, not being okay, really. And I think that's why I'm sort of shouting this from the rooftops and so interested, because in the last sort of 2.5 months, I feel transformed. It's extraordinary. It's absolutely extraordinary. And it's, what's kind of interesting is that when I have my morning cacao, which I have in as a, you know, hot chocolate drink, it feels like I'm coming back to life, and not in a kind of caffeine way. Not in a, I know, it, you know, it does contain small amounts of caffeine. So it's not like, you know, you have your coffee and then you're like a human again. It's more than that. It's just, I don't know how to describe it. I just feel happy. It's like, I feel happy.
There's a reason for that, though. Interesting, there is a reason for that. And the reason is, sorry to interrupt you, but...
No, go for it. Yeah, we can, I think I'm going to geek out on this.
The reason is because cacao naturally releases what we call the bliss molecules. So it's naturally releasing serotonin, dopamine, anandamide, and into the brain. And when we're feeling mildly depressed and anxious, it's because we're not producing enough serotonin or dopamine or anandamide. Cortisol is the main stress hormone that we have. And so when we drink cacao, what it does is it kind of lowers the cortisol and releases these bliss molecules that naturally open up the heart. It brings more oxygen naturally to the heart, so the heart pumps more oxygen. So if you look at ourselves as chemical, if we look at ourselves as chemical beings, we can scientifically see very clearly how cacao is naturally doing this to our bodies on a chemical level, on a scientific level. There's no woo woo to this. You don't have to believe that.
No, it's true. For me, it bridges the spiritual and the kind of biological, because you know, I am sort of writing about this at the moment, and it seems to me there's a lot to do with the kind of increasing, as you say, oxygen through increasing blood flow. So you're increasing cerebral blood flow. You're increasing sort of blood flow generally throughout the body. I know in kind of spiritual terms it talks about cacao being heart opening, but it seems to be, you know, literally on a kind of physiological level as well. It's really, really, and that's perhaps what isn't spoken about as much. It's really healthy for the heart.
Yeah.
Really healthy for the heart. And my partner has one of these kind of like fancy scales that measures all sorts of, you know, stuff like BMI, and but it also kind of gives you your heart age, and also that's some other kind of metric that's related to the heart, which I know they use to measure heart health. And I seem to be going through some kind of like Benjamin Button type experience where actually, and this is no joke, this is bonkers, since being on cacao, my heart's actually getting younger, you know, and the scales are telling me that. So it's really extraordinary, you know, as you say, you know. And you do have, my first experience with cacao was more of a kind of energetic type experience. So it was when I was on a retreat and someone gave me some cacao in the morning, and it felt, I did have that sense of heart opening. So if you know, you're talking about your kind of your heart chakra, you know, that can become blocked in you know, in depression and anxiety, just even physically when you're anxious, you're contracting in that area. And so, you know, on an energetic level, it just felt like there was a softening, there was an opening. I also felt really grounded as well, really grounded in my body, and just felt like, yeah, I happened to be in the Lake District, which is, for those who are maybe not from the UK, it's a really beautiful part of the UK with lots of nature and mountains and stuff like that. And just felt like, you know, I could connect with nature more. And that's been ongoing since I've been back. And so it's, you know, it's interesting. It's kind of bridging the spiritual, which some people might consider woo-woo, with the scientific physiological, you can literally measure this shit, basically, you know. It's bonkers.
Yeah, I mean, when I came back from the Amazon with this 21 pounds of cacao in my rucksack, I mean, there was just nothing out there, and no one had really recognized cacao as this very important plant medicine for now, especially in the West. Because the reality of it is that many of us aren't suffering from a serotonin deficiency. We're suffering from mild depression because of what's happening on the planet and the unknown and the what's been happening over the last few years. So when you go on antidepressants, what antidepressants do, or SSRIs, is that they chemically release serotonin into your system. For some people, that's, you know, going to really help them balance their chemical imbalance. But for a lot of people who've just got mild depression, having chemical serotonin flooding a system that is pretty healthy, just feeling depressed or a bit low or, you know, a bit worried about what's going to happen next, is creating more problems. And so cacao is a fantastic alternative, natural alternative to try before going into more pharmaceutical type medicines that are going to have a longer term effect. And that's why I love cacao, because it's so simple as a drink, and you can add to it what you want, and you can add spices and different things, but you can spice it up how you want it. You can take it how you want it every day, and it can have something different every day. And yet over a period of time, you see massive changes, and not negative. I have never seen a negative anything negative from cacao over long-term usage, only positive.
I mean, what I would say, Rebecca, and this is something, so with the herpes simplex virus, which I'm so lucky to have running around my system, cacao does contain arginine, which for most people is fine, but for people with herpes is a trigger. So that's why if you've got herpes, they say to avoid chocolate, also supposed to avoid caffeine as well. But just for anybody who's listening, who like me, has the joys of herpes simplex, you can take lysine basically, which kind of counteracts the effects of arginine. But it's interesting because, I mean, I've been on my kind of mostly my daily dose of like between 20 and 25. Sometimes I go a bit less just to see if I still get the same effect. I think it's always good to have, you know, with anything, the minimum amount to get, you know, the benefit that you need. But so there's no, you don't have to take a break from time to time, or you can just kind of, it's okay to have it on a, there's no sort of study suggesting that.
Well, at the moment, I mean, so if you take 42 grams a day, or like big, or even 30 to 40 grams a day, then it's going to start having problems on your adrenals. But like with everything, if you start drinking ridiculous amounts of coffee every day, it's going to start having an effect. If you have a daily dose of about 20 to 25 grams of cacao, what I found over the years of working with cacao, that a lot of people, they have maybe a year, and then it's almost like your body's gone into balance, and then you can't, then you take a break from it naturally. You just naturally don't feel like your body wants it anymore. But while your body is coming back into balance, then that desire to drink it on a regular basis is there. But Mother Earth provides the quantities of how much we're meant to be drinking in how much she produces of the plant. So, for example, cannabis grows prolifically all over the world as a weed, tons of it. So basically, it's Mother Earth saying we can ingest a lot of cannabis. We need to be ingesting a lot of cannabis because it's really good for us, because it's our best friend in the plant world and it's abundant in everything. Likewise with cacao. Cacao tree is abundant and it constantly produces cacao. It isn't seasonal. It grows all year round. And Mother Earth saying, you know, take cacao on a regular basis because there's an abundance of cacao. Likewise with avocados, apples, oranges, fruits. Whereas something like ayahuasca, one vine takes 5 to 8 years to grow before you can actually use it. So it's kind of Mother Earth's message to us that actually ayahuasca should be something that should be taken on a very limited basis. Something that's medicinal shouldn't be taken all the time at all. And is actually should be only taken on over a few years, not to be taken on a regular basis. Likewise, peyote is the same, iboga is the same, and actually there's a real issue with these medicines now. Peyote and iboga is that they are running out, or they haven't been planted at the same rate that they've been used, and this is because it takes years for these medicines to grow. So if we are consuming more than Mother Earth is producing, we're going to get to a point where we're going to run out of these medicines.
But there is a caveat to that though, Rebecca, because you know, just thinking about avocado, and we'll get onto cacao, you know, it takes a lot of water to grow avocado. So we've got, like, you know, I think in California there's huge problems with the water supply, the water table in anywhere where there's like commercial cultivation of avocados to feed our sort of never ending hunger for smashed avocado on toast. It's actually having, you know, knock on effects with the environment. But with cacao, we have to be careful, right? Because I know, and you know, it grows sort of around the equator, doesn't it? But, you know, not all cacao is created equal, as I'm right in understanding. There are kind of genetically modified variants, aren't there, that have been created. And also you have to be careful, you know, that it is fair trade and it's not, you know, kind of essentially slave labor or tiny children who are harvesting and not getting paid anything. I mean, what's kind of what should we be looking out for when it comes to cacao?
So going back to your point about the avocados, yes, the way that humans consume is over, but Mother Earth provide, if you look at an avocado tree, it's like full of avocados. So Mother Earth is very abundant with avocados. We're just greedy in the way that we don't work in balance with her. With cacao, definitely there is, it's protecting ancient heirloom of beans. So Criollo is an ancient variety of bean, Fino di Roma, that's our cacao's from Ecuador is Fino di Roma, and from Peru it's Criollo. There's a number of different bean varieties that are well known, some lesser so. Then we've got the GMO varieties, which is the big one is CN51, which is what's been grown in Peru. And you can really see and taste the differences. I mean, these are Frankenstein cacao pods that just grown enormously, but the beans don't taste nearly as sweet or as fresh or as nice. There's also the problem of cutting down rainforests to grow cacao. Again, that is going against the ceremonial part of or using it in a natural way. So if you are using it in a way where you're taking it every day and you're wanting to improve your mood and feel more healthy and vibrant, then actually consuming cacao that's, you know, world harvested, no non-GMO, fair traded, you have a better experience, obviously, with what you're consuming. And actually there is a big problem in the chocolate industry. I mean, one of the biggest cacao or chocolate companies is called Mondelez, and they basically bought up everything. They bought up Cadbury's, they bought up just an enormous monster of a corporation, actually. But there was a dispatches in April on that they still have slave labor and child labor on their Ghanaian farms. But we still consume Cadbury's cream eggs at £1. So it's not, if you're going to buy a Cadbury's cream egg or some chocolate for £1, someone somewhere is getting, is feeling that. And it's not us, it's usually the producer. And so when you get the real cost of cacao, how long it takes to harvest it is not an easy harvest. The process it has to go through to get to our shelves, and also it only grows 20 degrees around the equator, so it has to be shipped, it has to be imported. There's no such thing as Swiss chocolate. It's it's cacao beans that have been taken down to Switzerland and processed. I mean, we don't have cacao here in the Northern Hemisphere. It doesn't grow here. So there's a lot, you know, there's a lot involved in actually bringing chocolate. And what's happened is that it hasn't been commoditized, as again, and traded on the World Trade Organization. And on that level, the producers and the farmers really suffer. And it's now the awareness is coming back more around, you know, the whole or all the stakeholders that are involved in any product or that we're consuming. And we in the West are becoming much more aware of this. But how is also educating on the importance of where what chocolate we're buying, because if we're still buying into Mondelez and £1 cream eggs, unfortunately, we're buying into a culture of slave labor and child labor, which in 2022 should really completely be abolished by now. And small businesses like ours, and there's others, Tony Cioccoloni, it also does looks at all of this as well. I mean, there's a lot of chocolatiers that are coming out now very, very clearly showing that there's difference of cacao that you're buying, different levels of cacao, not only in the purity of the product, but also the energetics around it. You know, everyone's getting paid fair trade. You know, everyone benefits from the product, not just the consumer.
Yeah, I mean, that is interesting. I when I was in Ecuador, I did see parts of, it was mostly for palm trees for palm oil, but there were also cacao tree cultivations as well, where the forest had been chopped down. Is there a risk, as if you know that, I guess, you know, already for ordinary chocolate there's huge plantations, isn't there? It's not going to be, if there's a few more people having ceremonial cacao, that are going to be causing the decimation of the rainforest. Is there anybody who perhaps shouldn't be taking cacao? You know, we're talking about SSRIs and antidepressants. Are there any? Because, you know, these are powerful, you know, they contain powerful chemicals. So we're talking about, you know, the effects on depression, on heart health. So we know that, you know, it's, there's very high in two particular types of flavonoids. Also theobromine, which is, you know, I think comes from the food of the gods, which seems to kind of support, it's interesting, both the flavonoids and the theobromine seems to help to increase the blood flow. So they seem to have kind of, you know, similar effects. I mean, looking at flavonoids as well, you know, there's studies showing improvement in cognition, increased neurogenesis, then neuroprotective. You know, it's so interesting. With theobromine, it's you know, it helps to increase good cholesterol. It just seems to go on and on and on. But, you know, getting back to the kind of SSRIs, is there any interactions? Should people, if they're already taking SSRIs, can they also take cacao? What do we know?
So with the SSRIs, because SSRIs are naturally are chemically releasing serotonin into the system, then if you're drinking high levels of cacao, you can create a serotonin overdose, or toxic serotonin is what it's called, which leads to bad headaches, nausea, and basically feeling quite not feeling very well. So what we suggest is, if people are on very high doses of SSRIs, to really only be drinking a tiny bit of cacao, not to be going into the full dosage, even of 20 to 25 grams. It's too much. Oh, it can be too much. Look, it's very difficult because everybody's different and everyone will have a different reaction to cacao. However, if you're on quite mild doses of SSRIs, and you're kind of weaning yourself off, then cacao is a fantastic alternative to start adding. But I always say to people, if you're on SSRIs, start small dose, 10 grams, see how that goes for a week. If you're feeling a difference, feeling better, then you can add it to 15, try it there. Well, everyone's going to have a different biting point where they're feeling like that's enough for them. For some people, it's up to 30. For other people, it's down to like 10, 15. They don't need anything more than that. And so it is around experimentation and what works for the individual. But yeah, if you're on high doses of SSRIs, definitely to start very, very low doses so that you don't overdose with the serotonin. Likewise, if you have issues with your adrenals, you don't want to be having really a lot of cacao because it does have a it hits weak adrenals. So again, trying it with 10 grams, 15 grams, and working your way through where you find your comfort point with cacao, where you're drinking it and feeling really good and really connected, but it's not having an adverse effect. Those are the only two issues, really, and obviously the herpes issue.
How about low blood pressure? Because it does tend to lower blood pressure, doesn't it? If someone already has low blood pressure, should they be careful?
I haven't, personally, in the 10 years that I've worked with cacao, I have never seen it having an adverse effect with anyone with low blood pressure. And we're talking about chocolate here as a, in the end, it's really just chocolate. So again, if you've got very, very low blood pressure, I would just start with about 10, 15 grams. But then you'd have to be medicinally low. What I found is that actually when you're taking cacao, it naturally calms it kind of clears up a lot of the things that is creating the low or the high blood pressure because of its other medicinal properties. So it kind of clears out those underlying issues that might be causing the low blood pressure or the high blood pressure. But again, it's trying things out where it feels comfortable. And also, like, for example, if you're very caffeine sensitive, cacao does have caffeine in it. I mean, that's one of the things that gives you the energy boost. But it's not as high as, not nearly as high as coffee, and more related around black tea. So again, it's trying it out. Some people can't drink black tea or can't drink green tea, but actually can really drink cacao. If you're pregnant as well, like a lot of women don't drink caffeine during pregnancy, but they'll drink cacao. Other people don't want to touch anything. And I know some people that drink cacao like constantly throughout the pregnancy, and it really helped them. So there is no real hard or fast rule. Like I said, in the 10 years that I've worked with cacao, I've never seen any really horrific, problematic heart adverse effects, whereas with cannabis I have, and with other plant medicines I definitely have as well. I mean, obviously, if you overdose with cannabis, it can be quite intense experience. I've never actually seen that with cacao. It's very hard to overdose with cacao unless you're drinking it, unless you're drinking too much of it on a regular basis. But then that's like with anything, if you're drinking too much alcohol or too much coffee, it's going to have adverse effects over a period of time.
Just because, when we talk about plant medicine, we can talk on different levels, right? So we're talking about here the sort of physiological level in terms of health improvements. On a spiritual level, what do we know? What's been your experience? Because I just to share mine, I feel like since I've been drinking cacao, I'm becoming clear about what I do and what I don't. Well, I'm becoming clear about what I don't want to do. So it's almost like I really now cannot tolerate certain, okay, this part of my life is now over. and I don't know whether that's just coincidence. So it's given me sort of some clarity in some respects. I'm still not sure what I want to do with my life. Let's be open about that. But yeah, so I'm like, I don't know. I definitely, it's like, okay, this, I do not want to do certain things anymore. That bit is over. Is that a common experience?
I think it works differently for everybody. What I found in people who've come to me with cacao is that it kind of clears a lot of the stress and anxiety away, so you can get a clearer idea of where you're at and where you want to go. And for many of us, if we're feeling anxious and concerned about the future, we don't think clearly. We can't think clearly. And when we calm all of that down, we just can think a lot more clearly. So at Ritual Cacao, we promote cacao as a well-being remedy to reducing some of that stress and anxiety, so that you get a much clearer idea of where we're going, what, who we are and what we want to be doing. So I think it's like an actual progression of that. So you've got the real like physical benefits that are having a massive impact on the physical health of the body, but also you're getting the emotional benefits from all these bliss molecules being released into the brain, and from that, and also getting the like the heart opening, natural heart opening, more oxygen through the heart, more energy through the heart, so you're naturally feeling, you can actually feel it in your heart, you actually almost tangibly feel something happen.
That in itself,
but if you look at the body as a holistic entity, we're not just the physical body, we're the energetic body, we have the emotional body, we have the mental body, and I feel that cacao affects all of them, but on a really subtle level. So you're getting all, naturally all the physical benefits, but also you're getting all the emotional benefits, and from that, of course, you're going to get a lot of the what I suppose you call the conscious or spiritual benefits, which is when you take it, you suddenly get much clearer and more aware and more, I suppose, conscious of what's going on naturally. Because if you look at ourselves as chemical beings with all these bliss molecules, you are able to see more clearly because we're not being blinded by cortisol or by fear or anxiety, which creates black and white thinking, catastrophic thinking, and limits us in our creativity. So it naturally makes us feel more creative, more inspired, more energized, just because of its what it's doing chemically to our body. So for me, there's no woo-woo to this. It's scientific. I think through the scientifically, the physiological benefits of it, it's naturally creating emotional and conscious benefits.
Yeah, it's showing me in sort of sharp relief in a way, that connection between mind and body, and then the kind of lived experience in a way, and you know, and the spiritual as well. So it's so interesting. I'm like, it's genuinely, I mean, because you know, I've been working now on cannabis world now for 6 years, and I suppose I've really, you know, I've seen how it's helped other people's lives. It hasn't really, you know, I've tried CBD, it's never really helped, in all honesty. You know, if I kind of vaporize a bit of cannabis to help me sleep, but it's been like night and day. It's really, really extraordinary. And it's interesting that it is, you know, it is accessible. You know, it's not something you need a prescription for. It's, you know, and it's going back to this idea of food being medicine, you know, and we've lost that. I think we've, you know, medicine has been pharmaceuticalized. And what was interesting, I was just reading this week, I think this is in Australia, that there's a movement towards, you know, doctors actually giving a prescription for a healthy diet, you know, remembering that food is medicine, you know, it's, and we've just lost that. I think it's, you know, it's really quite sad.
Well, I think it's been deliberate, personally. I mean, because you can't call a plant a medicine. That is the biggest problem. So every plant that has potential medicinal values is now structured under Schedule 1 that basically claims it has no medicinal value, which, as we know, is completely ludicrous, because ayahuasca, that's under Schedule 1, well, we know, and in Peru is considered a sacred plant and openly and legally able to offer it as medicine. And along with cannabis, Schedule 1, mushrooms, Schedule 1. I mean, the reason why they can't put cacao as Schedule 1 is because it's been hidden as chocolate and commoditized as chocolate. But if you looked at the medicinal benefits of it and how it could help, if it was alongside the same political policy that's been going on now, you'd have to put it under Schedule 1, because it really does have a physiological effect on the body. And it's almost like... it's the gateway, I call it the gateway medicine, to understanding the power of plants as medicine, because it's so accessible. And everyone loves chocolate, or most people love chocolate and have consumed chocolate in their lives. So shifting it from chocolate to ceremonial grade cacao, but with all that science behind it, is much easier than, you know, trying to change policy around like cannabis, for example, or you know, these other medicines from the Amazon or from other indigenous communities that are less understood. And so, yeah, like for me, cacao is one of the most amazing master plant. I call her a master plant medicine because of her effects on, you know, physical effects, emotional effects, spiritual effects, conscious effects, and without the really the side effects that you would get from pharmaceutical medicine. And there really, we really need to start, there really needs to be a shift of awareness. I think it's happening, but it hasn't kind of reached policy level yet around this, the concept of plant medicines. And we're seeing this coming in now because of psychedelic therapy and the absolute explosion and investment in psychedelic therapy for mental health. Because the reality of it is, Mary, is that we have an enormous mental health crisis going on right now all over the world. But if you just focus on the West, it is really an enormous issue. And mental health is such a complicated area to work in because everyone is different. So it isn't a one pill fits all for mental health. It just doesn't work like that because the issues that are kicking off the or igniting this mental health issues is going to be different for everybody. So everyone's going to need something slightly different in order to manage their mental health. And psychedelics is one part of that, but
But interesting to know it's psychedelics assisted therapy. That's what's going to be approved, you know. Yes. It's like psychedelics in themselves, which by the way, if they do approve, they're gonna be synthetic patented molecules. Like we're talking about plant medicine, but that's, you know, plant medicine isn't gonna be what's prescribed on the NHS. It's gonna be, you know, kind of manipulated molecules that still fit into the paradigm, essentially, really. I mean, you know, they are moving, it is shifting the paradigm a bit. And that what they've seen is the therapy is key, because otherwise you just have a bit of an afterglow and then you kind of go back to your old patterns, basically. So so it's still, you know, it was interesting, when I was doing my research into cacao, there have been studies, but they tend to, you know, they still have to make money, right? Whoever's funding the studies, even if they love cacao or what have you. And so usually it's still some kind of, there's some IP behind it. So there might be sort of like their own formula that's got more flavonoids or some, you know, kind of synthetic variant of theobromine plus. So, you know, there's still no money to be made from just taking cacao. So therefore, you know, to be an official medicine, but it doesn't need to be. I just say that the you know, because of chocolate, it's completely accessible to everybody.
Which is what's the exciting thing about cacao is, because you're offering a traditional way of looking at plant medicine in an environment that is not allowed. It's just not prohibited, and they're never going to be able to change that, because again, cacao is very much like cannabis in that it has an entourage effect. Can't just take out,
I was going to ask about that. Okay.
Can't just take out the theobromine and put that in a pill. The whole idea about cacao, exactly like cannabis, is that it contains all the bliss molecules. It contains all the physical health benefits. It's the plant itself that you're ingesting for that health and well-being. So you can't, but then again, I don't think you can do it for anything. For example, ayahuasca is a brew that you drink that contains the vine, the ayahuasca vine, what's considered the ayahuasca, remember, is Banisteropsis capi, and a psychedelic leaf or a psychotropic leaf, which could be chacruna or wambisa, tawai, whatever the leaf that you're adding to the vine that creates the brew that you drink, that then sets you on that journey working with the plant medicine to relieve the trauma that you've been holding. So you can't synthesize that into a pill. It is then not ayahuasca. It is something completely different. And it's that conversation that really needs to be had. But it's very difficult to have that conversation unless you have something that you can compare it to. So that's why cacao is really, they can't shut us down with cacao because they can't suddenly make it illegal to do cacao ceremonies. So I'm in a, this is a position where you can say, well, this, if it's working for cacao and we can do this with cacao, then it just, you can then open up the conversation at least to what actually is a plant medicine, where the medicine is coming from. And this is the biggest problem that cannabis has had, as we know, is that you can't just take out the THC or the CBD as an isolate or synthetic, because it's the whole entourage effect of the cannabis that gives you the medicinal benefits. And you can't patent a plant. So we're up now, really, I think, up against a very interesting crux point where we are much more aware of the power of these plant medicines, how they're done in shamanic ceremony and traditional ceremonies. I mean, ayahuasca has literally come out of the Amazon to spread her, her medicine around the world. Like with POT, all these plant medicines are starting to come out of where they were hidden for thousands of years to kind of awaken us to the what's that available to us. And at the same time, coming up against a very modern profit-making system of medicine that's very much like, well, unless you can patent it and turn it into a synthetic pill and sell it, there's no money to be made in it, and therefore it can't be a medicine. And I think we really are coming up against this these two belief systems, where we've got the shamanic belief system where we have to ingest plants, that the plants are here to support us for our mental health and well-being, up against a very old and I think very patriarchal and you know, commoditized way.
But old, but not old. In relative terms, these are the you know, the system that we know, the pharmaceutical capitalist, is actually the younger sibling, much
exactly. No, exactly. So and it's, you know, it's a belief system that has in the law, and so I'm a criminal because, but if I was wearing a white suit and got a load of VC funding and did it in a clinical setting and extracted it and I did it as a chemical, I would be completely legal to do it. There's something, it's going to reach a crux point, because also those of us who've been working in this field for many, many years, I've been in this field for 24 years in this, you know, working with plant medicines, both hardcore psychedelic medicines of the Amazon all the way down to cacao and other plants, because once you work with one, you can work with all of them in the same way. I mean, all plants are medicine. And what I'm concerned about is that the assisted therapy, unless you have gone into those places as a therapist, you can't just do a psychology degree or a therapy degree and feel that you can help people who are going to be taking these psychedelics, because what they're going to go through is deep waters of trauma. And unless you know how to pull people out of riptides and, you know, that kind of thing, it's a dangerous game to play, I think, without this awareness of the plant, without this awareness, the respect for the plants and the respect for the ancient shamanic ways and indigenous ways of working with these plants. And if we just start using it as a commodity to think that we're going to help mental health and well-being without this really important element attached to it, I think we're going to find that there's going to be a load more problems rather than solutions to this issue. And that is why I always turn people onto cacao first. I call it the gateway medicine, because if you start drinking cacao as on a regular basis, as a ritual every day, like you've done, Mary, you actually start seeing changes, and very subtle changes over a period of time, but very profound changes. And for me, that's real change, because it's having deep, profound changes, but very subtly. So you're not getting the big kind of moment of clarity, oh my God, I know who I am, which you often can get in other psychedelic medicines. You're getting much more practical, action-based ways of,
and more sustainable, because, you know, you can have those peak experiences, but they're very hard to integrate.
Exactly.
And yeah, as I say, you can be left with this like afterglow, and, you know, this sort of these insights that, I don't know, I am the universe, as I had and I am and as you are. But then how do you integrate that into real life? It's like, you know, it's so this Yeah, I think coming from a place of daily connection to yourself and your heart. And I think this is what's for me interesting on an energetic level as part of this, you know, paradigm that we've been in for the last, I don't know, I suppose, is it since the Industrial Revolution or however long the pharmaceutical industry has been going? It's very mental, isn't it? It's very, you know, the intellect is what's prized, and you know, everything is very reductionist, etc. Whereas what I find interesting, and this is a journey that generally is opened with plant medicine, be it ayahuasca or mushrooms or have you, is you become more heart-centered, you know, and that's to somebody who is not in that world, that seems like mumbo jumbo. But I think with cacao, because literally physiologically, it's bringing you, there's activity happening in your heart, healthy activity, you know, lowering your blood pressure, etc. And increasing that, you know, that blood flow. It's literally, I am now more heart-centered. And so I'm moving more now from my heart, you know. And that's you know, I think that is part of the journey. But it's something that's much more tangible. It's more subtle. But it's more practical than, like, having this huge insight. And then, what do you do with that, frankly? So, you know, it's wonderful. So going back to the sort of ceremonial aspect to it, again, maybe revealing too much, I've been singing to my cacao in the morning. I have a little cacao song. I'm not going to share it now because it's a work in process or progress. But, you know, how can...
It's what we call the Icaro.
Okay, well, I've got my own Icaro. I love Icaros, actually, but I don't... I feel like my one's a bit more like a church hymn at the moment, which I need to work on that a little bit. But, you know, there is, it generally involves a sense of kind of gratitude. And I think gratitude is something as, you know, part of kind of, you know, a ritual experience is well, anyway, just sort of is a wonderful thing to try and embody. So how can we make the ritual cacao more ritual? And what is, you know, kind of holding a cacao ceremony? What does that involve?
So making cacao more ritualized is really just becoming aware that you're drinking a plant. It's becoming much more mindful about our actions and what we're actually consuming, because most of us don't actually recognize or realize what we're consuming. We've just lost our connection to nature to such a degree that we're not even, you know, understanding like the food that we're eating has been grown, processed, harvested, and brought to the table in a huge role of stakeholders. So when you drink cacao, it's that, just that recognition and that awareness that, you know, the cacao that was grown all the way up in the equator has found her way here. And when you drink it, you're just drinking it with mindfulness, with intention, with a focus point. And that just naturally focuses our energy, and wherever we're paying attention, that's where our attention is going. So it's just having those 15 minutes of mindfulness with the cacao. And what I love about working with cacao is that there's a ritual to it. You have to cut it up, you have to cook it. So there's a certain slowness around cacao, a certain ritual just in the preparation of it, in that you have to be mindful in it. You can't just, you know, stick a couple, well, you could do, but then you're missing the point. If you stick a couple of powder, you know, and then add in some hot water and drink it, then you're probably going to have some of the physical benefits, but you're not going to have the deep understanding, emotional, conscious benefits, because you're not going to be aware of them. And when you sit down and you drink cacao and you just take those 15 minutes of the day just tuning in, then cacao can really, you start really become aware of what's happening physiologically inside of you, and also the clarity that comes from that. And humans need time for integration. I mean, in the Amazon, they're integrating 3 to 4 hours a day minimum. In the, you know, from the moment the sun gets too hot, from about 11, 12 o'clock, if you don't go out, you stay in until about 2, 3 in the afternoon. And so you have these automatic times of integration, rest and relax, but we don't have this in the West. And without these moments of integration and silence, we become overwhelmed, burnt out and exhausted. We can't think straight. So having a daily practice in the morning really helps to manage mental health. And how we see cacao is as a daily part of your daily practice to help manage the stress, the anxiety, you know, make you feel more peaceful and loved up. So it becomes part of your daily practice. So you look forward to the ritual of creating the cacao. You look forward to sitting in that 15 minutes. What am I going to do today? Getting your day planned, drinking cacao. She becomes like a support energy, as you know, to help you support you in the day that you're about to begin. And it becomes part of this daily practice. And physiologically, she's supporting you in naturally in reducing some, you know, getting that clarity. A cacao ceremony is where you drink cacao ceremonially. So when the ayahuasca told me to bring cacao back to her, she said that, you know, we've lost ceremony, we've lost our connection to plant medicines, we've lost our understanding of nature and the power of plants. And cacao is a fantastic plant to offer to the West without having any long-term, not without doing any long-term damage, because there's a lot of people out there that have had a lot of long-term damage from ayahuasca not being done properly, not being held properly, ceremonies not being held, and actually creating more problems than offering solutions to a lot of people who've done ayahuasca. Whereas cacao is much more gentle. So 42 grams is a ceremonial dose of cacao. And when you drink that, I take you on a journey. So how I do it is as a traditional plant medicine ceremony, where I take you on the journey to meet the actual spirit of cacao and commune with her on how, you know, on the questions that you might have and the clarity and guidance. So in plant medicine shamanism, we recognize that each plant has a spirit and energy that we can communicate with, that we can work with, and that they are there as a symbiotic relationship with us to support human health and well-being. And once you learn the language of plants, you can work with any plant to help that person find the medicine within that plant. So I work on that level with cacao. So I take people on that journey to actually meet and connect with and have a deep relationship with the cacao spirit, and the spirit of cacao.
So how can people find out more about your work, Rebecca?
I have a ceremonial grade cacao company. We sell ceremonial grade cacao from Ecuador and from Peru. The Satsiyaku Associations is an association in Ecuador, and we work with the Ashaninka tribes of the Peruvian Amazon and other communities around the Yenay River, which is where the Ashaninka are. And this is Criollo from Peru and Fino de Aroma from Ecuador, but all our cacao is wild harvested, fair trade and non-GMO, organically grown and lovingly made, really. And we support these communities. It's ritualcacao.co.uk. We also offer 21-day cacao challenges, where we get you to come on and do a 21-day challenge, where we offer a daily emails, an opening and closing cacao ceremony. So if you are interested in seeing the effects, obviously, that Mary's been experiencing, then I'm doing a coffee to cacao challenge on the 6th of November. And it lasts until the 27th of November. And this is to give people an opportunity to come off coffee, but with a daily explanation as to why cacao is a great alternative to coffee. So it's really for those of you who maybe have a coffee addiction, want to reduce your coffee intake, a bit nervous about giving up the coffee ritual, totally get that, but offering a 21-day challenge to explore cacao as an alternative to coffee. We also do a cacaoista training once a year, so training people up to work with cacao as a plant medicine spirit, as a plant medicine that can help with well-being. And so we have practitioners of cacao working with them as a shamanic plant medicine. And we have a membership as well. So if you want to have cacao regularly, then you can join our membership, and there's perks to the membership as well. And we have an affiliate program, so for people who want to get more involved with cacao. So our aim at Ritual Cacao is to really reposition cacao as a plant medicine for these times, to uplift the spirit, help you feel more loved up and blissed out, and open up the heart, and actually find that clarity that you were talking about, reducing some of the stress and anxiety, but and actually having people feeling much more peaceful and harmonious. Because when people feel more peaceful and harmonious, they're naturally more creative, naturally feel more inspired, and then from there your actions are different and you actually get a much clearer idea and you actually feel happier. And that's what we're kind of needing right now, is if everyone's feeling in fear and helpless and paralyzed, then the decisions that we make are not benefiting us in any level. So that's cacao. I also do cacao ceremonies through my livingshamanically.com website. So I do online cacao ceremonies where you can come on, cook up the cacao. We have videos, and then I take you on a shamanic journey to meet the cacao spirit. And I do them quite on a regular basis, once a month, so that you can have that opportunity to really connect in with the cacao spirit and to hear the messages that she has for you. Because I feel like everyone's different and everyone will have a different relationship with cacao, but it is really looking at cacao as a plant medicine that you can have a personal relationship with that can support you on your journey to feeling happier, brighter, more harmonious.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, you can sort of enter on so many levels, can't you? It can just purely be as, I just don't want to drink coffee anymore, or you know, you want to have this personal relationship with the spirit of cacao. So yeah, fantastic. Well, Rebecca, it's been so lovely speaking to you today. Thank you for coming back on the show. You're the first repeat guest.
Thank you so much.
It's been great having
Thank you so
back.
Much. It's been so great, to get cacao alongside some of these other plant medicines. She hasn't really been given a stage because she's just been hidden by confectionery. But if we can start getting some of these messages out, I think that she's a great starting point to actually looking at the other, like hemp and cannabis, that, you know, people aren't quite, it's just so shrouded in the political shackles of it, whereas cacao is kind of like this free plant still. So it's a fantastic opportunity to kind of, you know, show cacao in a different way, in a different light, and in the way that she should be really recognized.
Thank you for listening to Cannabis Voices. If you like this podcast, please subscribe, rate, review, and share with your family and friends.